Revelation chapter 12. Well, it's Roaring Lion Sunday, so we're going to teach and preach on the devil. And by the way, this isn't some fable. This isn't some made-up character. He's real, and we're going to learn a little bit about him in the morning service. This morning, I'm going to put the emphasis on the devils. What do you mean by that, preacher? Well, we have the devil, we have Satan, formerly known as Lucifer. But when he rebelled against God, and when he was cast out of heaven, he drew with him a third part of what the Bible calls the stars of heaven, did cast them to earth. Later on, in chapter 12 here, we're going to read this in a minute, Revelation chapter. By the way, Revelation chapter 12 is one of the most interesting. We'll be preaching on this same passage in the morning service. It's one of the most interesting chapters in the Bible when it comes to Satan and some things that's revealed about him that we need to know. But folks, listen to me. I always want to say kind of two things here. Number one, the devil's a defeated foe. And the Bible says greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so, you know, the sad part about it is he can't win a victory unless we hand it to him. I want to say that again. He can't win a victory unless we hand it to him because, you know, the Bible says, we'll talk about that in the morning service, but the Bible commands us to not run from the devil, but to resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, obviously, we can't do that in our own strength and our own power. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We can only do this because God is more powerful than the devil. So I want to say that, and I want to put him in his proper place. But folks, listen to me. He may be a defeated foe, but that does not mean he's not a dangerous foe. And if you underestimate him, or you think that you can, you know what, live this Christian life in your own power, your own strength, you're going to find out real quick that he has destroyed many, many, many Christians. And listen, we need to take it seriously. We need to learn what the Bible says about him. We need to understand his devices. That's a Bible word, his devices. He hasn't changed his game plan much. You know why? Because he hasn't really had to. It keeps working. And a lot of the times it's because we just don't know our Bibles. And so he's very real. And we're going to learn a little bit about him in the morning service, 10:30 hour, but I want to focus on these angels. Now, remember, when he was cast, well, let me read the verses first here. Revelation chapter 12, verse 1. There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. This woman is a picture or a type of the nation of Israel. And the child that's getting ready to be born is the Messiah. Now notice verse 3, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Notice verse 7, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought, here's the phrase, and his angels. So this third part of the stars that was cast down to heaven, you talk about a deceiver. I was talking to Brother Joe Asbury when I visited him, and we were talking about this very thing, and he said, you know, Pastor, these angels had spent time in the very presence of Almighty God, and yet the devil was still able to deceive them into following him in his rebellion. And folks, he's a master deceiver. He's very deceitful. Now, what does that mean? That means he can get you, if you're not careful, to believe something that's not true. He can believe you to get you to believe some things that are we know because of the Bible are not true. And so we have to be wise. One of the best insulations from being you know, destroyed by the devil, because that's what he wants to do. The Bible says he's a liar, and the Bible says he's a murderer. And he's all about deception and destruction. We'll see this in the morning service, but he knows that what the end is for him. And he knows he's doomed. And yet, he is so angry over not being able to overthrow the Lord, not be able to become like the Most High, that he's decided he's going to put all his efforts in destroying the crown creation of God, and that is mankind. And I'm get too deep into him, but I want you to understand when he was kicked out of heaven here, verse 8, and prevailed not. So there was a war in heaven, and the devil lost, and his angels fighting with him lost. They prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And in case you were wondering who this great dragon is, verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. Here it is, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray, dear Lord, that you'd bless us. And Lord, help us to learn a little bit about the invisible creation this morning and take it seriously and understand it. At the same time, Lord, know how to defeat it, know how to resist it, know how to live as more than conquerors through him that loved us. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that we would be a little more wise after today and the emphasis here. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. One of the things you'll see in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ is when he was here on earth was that there was a lot of demonic activity. And Jesus, again and again, as he went about, was dealing with people that were possessed by devils. In Matthew chapter 8, let me just read this. And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits, small s spirits, with his word, and healed all that were sick. So when Satan fell from heaven, he deceived one third of the angels into following him into rebellion against God. Now these fallen angels, the Bible refers to them as devils. Sometimes you'll hear in modern times, people will talk about demons. You won't find the word demon in the Bible. You'll find devils instead. But who are these devils? Preacher, who are they? Tell us a little bit about them. What I want to emphasize is this: the devil's not working by himself. And that was important that for him to try to pull off what he wants to pull off, for him to deceive and take an army of devils with him. By the way, think about that. At one time, they were angels. Now they're referred to as devils. It was Augustine that said this. This is one of the most important. Somebody ought to write this down somewhere because we ought to keep this in mind. Augustine said it was pride that changed angels into devils. It was pride. We're going to hit that in the morning service pretty hard. You say, what was the devil's chief sin? Pride. Preacher, isn't there a good kind of pride and a bad kind of pride? Well, study it out in the Bible. I'm going to say something because I've done the study. I know I've looked at every verse. You will not find the Bible say one positive thing about pride anywhere in the Bible. And if you study that out, I'm going to tell you, pride will get you into more problem as a Christian than anything else. Think about that. Augustine's quote, it was pride that changed angels into devils. So that means we've got to be very, very careful of that sin in our life. And so when Satan fell from heaven, here he deceived God's angels into following him. And now these fallen angels or devils, as the Bible calls them in many places, have now become the servants of Satan, the army that he uses. Folks, Satan is not omnipresent. God is omnipresent. God can be everywhere at once. The devil cannot. And so he works through what the Bible talks. I may mention this. There's a lot to get through. I got like 22 minutes. There's no way I'm getting through all this. But when the Bible talks about we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's an entire sermon study right there. You break that down. The devil has organized these devils into a very efficient, a very organized army. And he has devils of different rank and power underneath him. And just like we see that there are angels that God has, some of them that have more power than others, he's taken these and he's organized them into an army. So since he can't be everywhere at once, he has to use these devils to try to accomplish what he does in battling against the born-again Christians, in keeping lost people lost. Folks, listen. I don't know what the attendance is going to say on the board back there. Yeah, I want to try to make this real to you. I don't know what the attendance is going to say on the board back there as far as people that are here. If for 10 seconds the Lord would lift the veil and we could see the invisible creation as well as the visible creation for a few minutes, I think it would make us all pray more. Yeah, if I'm the devil and I want to stop the spread of the gospel and Christianity, where do you think he has his devils deployed on Sunday mornings? That's exactly right. And by the way, he's not wasting them on a bunch of churches that are teaching a false gospel. He's fighting mostly against the ones that are still preaching salvation by grace through faith, the pure gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why this preacher wakes up praying on Sunday morning. That's why we got to pray for these buses, pray for these young people. Folks, listen to me. There is demonic efforts being made constantly against the advancement of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, you get involved in this thing of spreading the gospel. You know what? You just put a target on yourself. You say, preacher, good night. Well, that's why we need to study it out. I don't walk around scared of the devil because I know that he's a defeated foe, but I'd be foolish not to be aware of the devil and the devils that he uses. And so let me tell you just a handful of things about this army. We're going to focus more on the devils or the demonic forces that he uses, and then we'll preach more on the devil in the morning service. I'm going to try to give you as much of this as I can pretty quick, okay? Number one, the devils are many. The devils are many. Hebrews 12, verse 22 says, and I'll read most of the verses because of just trying to save time. But ye are coming to Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Now that's what the Bible says as far as you say, how many angels are there? Well, the Bible says they're innumerable. Well, I don't know what one third of innumerable is, but I'd say he's got a pretty intense army. So think about that. Satan carried away one third of this innumerable host. That means there are many devils under his control. Okay, so where are these devils today? Now let me just break it down to you. Many devils are active here on earth doing the bidding of the devil or Satan. Timothy, 1 Timothy 4:1, the Spirit, capital S, that's talking about the Holy Spirit, speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith. Now think about this. It's happening right now. There are people that's raised in church. There are people that are in church and they're dropping out of church and they're being sidelined and sidetracked. Now why is that happening? Listen to this. It says in the latter times, when we get near the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he came the first time, a lot of demonic activity. I think the closer we get to him coming the second time, a lot of intense demonic activity. So in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Okay? Somebody said, well, so-and-so used to go to church and they don't go to church anymore. And you want to know why? And I say, yeah, I know why. No, do you want to know? I know why. Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Oh, no, you don't know the whole story. Yeah, I do. Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. They were either demonic forces either seduced them away from God and away from the church and away from serving the Lord, or they got tied up in a false doctrine that it did not come from God but come from the devils that Satan employs. No, preacher, you don't know the whole story. You don't know what happened. No, I do. Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Yeah, but they got mistreated, seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Okay? Because you've never been mistreated? In church? You can go like this, all right? So why are you still here? Because you didn't fall for the seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You know what? Because you kept your eyes on Jesus and realized, guess what? Men are going to fail you from time to time. By the way, look right up here. I'm going to fail you. You're going to fail me. So what do we do? Quit church every time that happens? Seducing. So the devil, some demon, sat on somebody's shoulder and said, well, can you believe they said that about you? And they don't know the whole story. And you know what? This is just a bunch of hypocrites. And you know what? They seduced them. By the way, everything that I just said is a lie. Church isn't full of hypocrites. It's full of people that are trying the best they can to live for the Jesus Christ, but are going to fail from time to time. That's the truth. But the devils never tell you truth. They sit on your shoulder and they try to seduce you away from the faith. So they're active today. Many of them are active here on earth. They're working with the devil to try to destroy the church of Jesus Christ, to try to attack and destroy any ministry or any person that is trying to share the gospel. Some devils are chained, this is interesting, are chained awaiting judgment. Jude 1:6, and the angels which kept not their first estate but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. 2 Peter 2:4, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. I don't have time to teach this, but this is fascinating. Some of them, think about a numeral, so there was a lot of them. And some of them, the Lord went ahead and just chained. Some of them, those ones that are chained, though, I believe I could go to the book of Revelation and show you where they're unleashed during the tribulation period. I mean, thank God for that God has taken some of them and basically kept them out of the devil's army. And yet there still are some. How many? I don't know. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Some devils, number three, who are now chained will be released during the tribulation period. You can read about that, Revelation chapter 9, the first 11 verses. The fifth angel sounded, and you can read about that. So number one, the devils are many. Number two, the devils are loyal, Now think about these attributes, folks. Mark chapter 3, okay? The scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, this is the accusation they made against Jesus because he was casting out devils, okay? You talk about illogical accusations. He, speaking of Christ, hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of devils casteth he out devils. All right, stop. You know, that makes a lot of sense. You know, their accusation was that Jesus was demonically possessed and with the spirit of Satan, and therefore he had the power to cast out devils. Okay, it doesn't even make logical sense. And he, of course, brings this out, and he called them unto him, Jesus called them unto him, the ones making the accusation, and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. Satan's house is not divided. Did you get that? Satan's house is not divided. This is the words of Jesus. The devils are loyal to Satan and work together to do his bidding. Now think about this, folks. I hate to say this, but am I going to say this? We might be able to learn some things from devils. I just think if the Church of Jesus Christ was as loyal to the Savior as devils are to Satan, just think of what we could accomplish, you know. But the devils are loyal to Satan. They work together to do his bidding. Their house is not divided. So think about that. This biblical principle is true. And this is why I think the devil likes to bring division and schisms within the Church of Jesus Christ. Because if he can get all of us spend all our time fighting each other, then we're not fighting him. And so the devils are loyal. Number three, the devils are organized. I already kind of mentioned this. But you study in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Then it lists this, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. I'll give it to you quick because this is so interesting. Principalities, that means ruling magistrates. This means some devils oversee large divisions of followers. The devils are organized in military fashion. That word powers, some devils have delegated influence and mastery. These devils are like Satan's elite force. Come on, this is the Green Beret, okay? This is SEAL Team. Again, this is likened to our military special forces units. Rulers of the darkness of this world. Satan has, this is talking about geographically placed satanic rulers. And again, the devil has to work like this because he's not omnipresent, but he has some fallen angels that have extra power, they're extra responsibility. They've been assigned geographical areas that they operate in and then report back to him. Number four, spiritual wickedness in high places. These are supernaturally depraved plotters. They're in charge of coordinating attacks upon godly strongholds. Come on, think about this. Any of you that have military background or you've read military books and it's interesting to you, I mean, good night. If we could get the Church of Jesus Christ disorganized, you know, think about that. Organization is one of the most important aspects of warfare. Satan commands a very efficient, very well-organized army of devils. So I know I'm rushing through this, but pretty interesting. So devils are many, they're loyal, they're organized. Number four, devils create strongholds. Devils create strongholds. Now, Revelation chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write these things, saith he which hath the sharp two-edged, a sword with two edges. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. Seat of authority it's talking about. And thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith. Can you imagine pastoring a church? Because if the devil can only be in one place at one time, then he's got a seat or a seat of authority, some place that is his headquarters. At this time, it was in Pergamos. You say, where is it today? I don't know. I've got some ideas, but I don't know. Think about that. The very word Pergamos means fortified. They're writing, Jesus is writing a letter to this church and having it delivered through John to tell them, I understand where you are ministering is a satanic stronghold. As a matter of fact, it is where the very seat of authority of where the devil is. Jesus would know that. I would know it, you would know it, Jesus would know that. So think about that. This city was at one time a satanic stronghold. It's a geographical location where there is a constant, you say, what is a stronghold, preacher? It's a geographic location where there's a concentration, a high concentration of demonic activity. And it's true. By the way, why take the time to walk up and down Missionary Hall? You ought to talk to some of these missionaries. You ought to understand some of them are going into demonic strongholds. There's some places, folks, where ministering and bringing the gospel, literally, they're risking their lives to do it. And so think about that. So, you know, I think that there's demonic strongholds. I think the devil likes to get a place where he can kind of work out of. I think in the United States of America, there's certain places. I think San Francisco is a demonic stronghold. Okay? I think if we could see, can you imagine the demonic activity around Washington, D.C.? Hey, preacher, you act like you really believe this stuff. I believe the Bible. So if I believe the Bible, I better believe this stuff. And yet there's people that are going into these demonic strongholds with the gospel, just like these church members, this church and this pastor was in Pergamos. You know, we talk about running these buses and going into the devil's backyard and stealing his kids, you know. I'm going to tell you some of the places that people are ministering, that's exactly what they're doing. Think about that. Is New York City, Las Vegas, Washington, D.C., Rome? A lot going on in Rome right now. Think about that. Moscow, Beijing. By the way, I wonder if Jerusalem has become. You don't think that the devil's busy in Israel? You say, but preacher, those are God's chosen people. Go over and talk to them about Jesus. They may be God's chosen people, but you can't hardly find a Christian. You can't hardly find a Christian Jew anywhere in Jerusalem. You can find a few. And people that are in there trying to win people to Christ. You know how many times we've supported a missionary going to Israel? You know how long they last over there? Most of them don't make 3 years. And they're deported. They're found out and they're deported. I think if we could see the demonic activity in Israel, it would appall us. And so think about that. What are the characteristics of a stronghold? If you think about a stronghold, concentration of demonic activity, concentration of occult activity. Okay, this stuff where they're constantly pumping out movies and books aimed at young people, pushing the occult. We can't let down on this. Harry Potter's not a cute little movie or a cute little book to read. We better take this stuff serious, okay? I just saw an article, just read an article that somebody sent me where they brought into an elementary school a woman that, they didn't call her a witch, they called her another name, but she was literally brought the elementary kids together in this classroom, was teaching them how to use a Ouija board in our public school system. She was called a spiritualist, I think. I think that's the name. Well, yeah, small s spiritualist, that's pretty accurate. You know, we better try the spirits. Occult activity, concentration of people enslaved to sin. Concentration of false religions. Well, one of the devil's greatest tricks to try to funnel people into hell is to give them a false hope, false religions. Think about that. Concentration of persecution of Christians. That's another characteristic of a stronghold. By the way, you know what? God has strongholds too on earth. Concentration of Holy Spirit activity. Concentration of evangelistic activity. Concentration of people being set free from sin. Concentration of preaching the truth. Concentration of witnessing Christians. Now I want to tell you something about our area that's very unique. And if you don't, trust me, I know what I'm talking about right here. I know just about every church in southern Indiana. I know we've planted 3 churches. I know where there's no gospel witness at. We need to plant more churches. Pray with me about that. I'd like to plant one in the next year or so. Just waiting on God to send the right man to do it. But listen to me. When you look at Greene County, okay, I've had people from the outside say, preacher, southern Indiana, for the most part, is a mission field. And yet, you have this little concentration, this unusual thing. If you think about the independent Baptist churches, King James Bible, independent Baptist churches that are preaching every week in our little tri-county area, it's unheard of, the concentration of it. And I thank God for every one of them. You know, you think about this. Most guys that are, Brother, you talk to Brother Reiser. There's not a church like Bethel Baptist 4 miles down the road from him, and then a Calvary Baptist and Olive Branch Baptist Church, you know, 10 miles down the road from him. And I can sit here and name 4 or 5 other ones in there. There's not a guy like Dave Simpson over pastoring a church in Sullivan, Indiana. I mean, I believe, and I've talked to these men about it, that God has created a stronghold here, but wait a minute, he didn't create that stronghold so that we can circle the wagons and just enjoy. By the way, that doesn't mean we aren't done reaching people, okay? And I think the demonic activity is probably stronger here because there is a godly stronghold here. But we need to use this as a hub to do what we're doing in planting churches to, I want to just tell you what I believe. I think, listen, I don't know if we can ever see a national revival or not. I don't know. I'm not going to underestimate God. But I can tell you this. I believe we could see some regional revivals. I think Southern Indiana is ripe to see a great awakening type movement in this part of the country. But you know what? If I know it, the devil's not dumb. So think about this. So the devils are organized. The devils create strongholds. Number five, devils can work miracles. I'm not going to get into this very deep, but back when Moses and Aaron showed up at Pharaoh's and to convince him that they were from God, guess what? God allowed them to perform some miracles. Guess what? He brought his magicians in and they mimicked many of these miracles. And so that's why the Bible says to try the Spirit. Oh, preacher, I'm going to tell you, I went over to this thing and you could feel the Spirit. You could feel the Spirit in that place. And I was like, okay. What kind of spirits? You better listen to me. All this, now I'm going to say it out loud, throw rocks if you want to. But this new fake contemporary compromising rock and roll Christianity movement, their spirits are right. By the way, why don't they ever use his first name? Why don't they ever say, well, you can feel the Holy Spirit there? The Holy Spirit's involved. It moves men towards holiness. It sanctifies them. Okay? It doesn't conform them to the world. It transforms them from the world. There's crazy things going on underneath the guise of the Spirit. We better test it out. Number six, devils fight against the work of God. And I read the verse about a great falling away. Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. Listen, devil's not just trying to keep lost people from getting saved. The devil's trying to destroy people that are saved. You know, plan A, plan B. Okay, first plan A was this, that you never get saved. Well, guess what? You did. So the devil throw his hands and give up on it? Nope. That means he's like, okay, plan B. What I want to do is neutralize, listen to this word, neutralize their effectiveness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Basically, okay, I lost that one and I can't get him or her back, but I'm going to do everything I can to see to it that they never influence another person for Christ. Okay? And so be careful, church. I'm blowing the trumpet this morning. Number seven, devils believe in God. By the way, that means devils are smarter than atheists. They believe in God. James 2:19, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. And we know that they tremble because here's another thing. I think that's why you ought to, listen, I don't want you to go to seed on this, but it's good that you study this out. It's good that you study what the Bible has to say. But every time Jesus interacted with devils, they surrendered immediately. They did whatever he said. They begged for mercy. They knew that Jesus was the Christ. They proclaimed him to be the Christ. They were smarter than the Jews too. Okay? So think about that. Number eight, devils know who Christ is and must obey his direct commands. And I just mentioned that. We read in the Gospels encounters between Jesus and devils. It's interesting to see their reaction and listen to what they say to the Son of God. In the synagogue, in Luke chapter 4, there was a man. So he was in church, folks, in the synagogue while Jesus was teaching. Because it says he taught them on the Sabbath. They were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. So in the middle of a preaching service, in the synagogue, there was a man. By the way, you want to stir up demonic activity? You want to see where the devils are? Preach the Bible. Just preach the Bible. Just go in and start preaching the Bible. The saints of God will rejoice and the devils will get angry and stir things up. Okay? And so what happened? There was a man which had the spirit of an unclean devil, cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone, What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. So, you know, they know who he is. By the way, he told them to come out, and they came out. Devils also, let me give this last one, are doomed. They're doomed. Matthew 25:41. And then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil, not just the devil and his angels. The lake of fire will be the final destination for Satan and his invisible army. Now, folks, they're here on earth. They know that their time is short, but they're working hard. And I hope that some of the things we've learned this morning will help us to be aware and to be conscious of what they're trying to do, and to remember, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for the Bible and what it teaches us. And Lord, I pray, dear God, if there's somebody that's here today that's never been saved, they'd be saved today. And Lord, I know the devil's going to do everything he can to work on them, to distract them, to give them a reason not to listen, to cause their mind to wander. But Lord, as the gospel is preached this morning, I pray, dear Lord, that if somebody's here without Jesus and the devil's wreaking havoc in their life, that they would understand what's happening. They would come to Christ. It's amazing. Once you have Christ in your heart, once you have Christ in your life, the devil is just so helpless in what he can do from that point forward if we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. So I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord, in the service to come. In Jesus' name, amen.